One of the principles in spiritual direction when working with a new directee is the idea of helping the directee establish some points of reference in their own sense of the interior life, which usually begins with an examination, which we would call in probably modern speak, this idea of self-awareness. This idea of the person being conscious of their own interior life, their own prayer life, but even more preliminary than that, this idea about their knowledge of their own temperament, their proclivities, their particular struggles. And as you can imagine, everyone's different. So the art of spiritual direction for the spiritual director is to help the directee figure out who they are. Some of those things are not very comfortable at first. In fact, oftentimes they're quite revelatory. And this takes time. It's not something that comes to people right away, but certainly it's foundational. Teresa of Avila, the great Spanish mystic, reminds us that the first step to sanctity is a healthy self-awareness. And for instance, in the work that I do, and many in this church this morning are involved with, our students from the seminary know that part of growth in human formation and spiritual formation requires a healthy self-knowledge. One of the difficulties, of course, is when individuals have blind spots. They don't see that there are problems. They don't see defects. They don't see deficits. And this becomes a little bit problematic after a while, especially when the person cannot arrive at that knowledge themselves. They have to be told. That's a little bit more difficult, you can imagine. Right? And so sometimes I have to tell a directee, you don't know what you don't know. Now, I begin with this idea of self-awareness because as we go through this passage from Mark's gospel today, the healing of Bartimaeus, the blind man, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, we will soon discover here that Bartimaeus may be blind, but he's not lacking in self-awareness. He's well aware of his blind spots, which is his entire life, okay, because he's just flat out blind. So here, what I want to do is look at the gospel, not just simply as a story, a narrative of a healing, a physical healing, which of course is true, but it's much more than that. It's actually, for all of us, an allegory of the turn towards the Lord Jesus in conversion. And here I don't just simply mean moral conversion again. Here we use this word again repeatedly in Mark's gospel, metanoia, which is this reorientation of one's life to the Lord. Nevertheless, it is very, very helpful to think of this also in terms of moral conversion. It would be true as well. So what I'm going to do is just go through this gospel, and I will select certain parts of it to demonstrate how this is such a beautiful and powerful allegory. So first we have Bartimaeus, the blind man, the son of Timaeus, sitting by the roadside begging. Again, Bartimaeus knows he's blind. There's no getting around it. There's no blind spots. His whole life is a blind spot. It's not just a medical condition for him. Bartimaeus, as a blind person, would have been considered in antiquity not only simply medically blind, unable to physically see, but he also would have been considered a sinner, that his physical deformity was actually symptomatic of a moral deficit called sin. So Bartimaeus, for instance, would not be allowed to worship in the synagogue. He was excluded from the community. Now, we might think that this is rather odd and unjust and uncaring. For those of you who, for instance, have been to places like Lourdes in France, right? Les malades, the sick, they're the VIPs. If this were in Judaism in our Lord's time, you know, the malade in Lourdes sit in the front. They are whisked to the front in their wheelchairs, and they are the VIPs, right? They're the ones who get the first blessings. They have their own special lane on the sidewalk. Okay, like a bike lane, so that you can push your little buggies around. For those of you who have been there, you know. But in Bartimaeus' time, in our Lord's time, not so much. Bartimaeus is a sinner. And he's considered that not only by the people, but perhaps even in his own estimation. The second is that when Jesus passes by, Mark writes, on hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. There are two dimensions here. One is Bartimaeus. He uses this very powerful title, Son of David, a messianic title, a title ascribed to King David, that Jesus would be the fulfillment of the messianic promises that God would come to save his people. And so already Bartimaeus' faith has begun in Jesus, has begun to well up. But as soon as he begins to show signs of conversion, the cynics are around him. Trust me, when people are beginning to experience conversion, there are always naysayers and cynics who doubt it's genuine. Others say, "You'll never change. That's just the way you are." And so the individual has to make a decision. Is Jesus right, or are the naysayers right? And happily for Bartimaeus, he follows Jesus. The naysayers are always going to be suspicious that conversion is possible and that Jesus is Lord, but not our friend Bartimaeus. He calls out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." Excuse the pun, but Bartimaeus, who is a beggar, prays like a beggar. And you notice how he prays, right? He knows he's completely helpless to make this turn. He's beginning to recognize the indispensability of grace necessary, communicated into his soul, in order to make the turn towards the Lord Jesus. He literally prays like a beggar. And this is a great, great litmus test for each of us. It's very easy for us to pray with a certain air of self-sufficiency. "Lord, I only need you to make up for what I lack. Because essentially I've got this, but you'll just kind of push me over the line. Or I'm at the limits of my resources, my own even self-awareness, and you'll just make up for what I lack." Bartimaeus does not pray that way. Bartimaeus prays in such a way that he realizes that from beginning to end, even the idea of turning to the Lord is already a grace from Jesus himself. He prays with desperation. This, of course, is a great invitation for us to consider how we pray as well. And then he springs up and throws aside his cloak and comes to Jesus. Simply, this is often understood as a sign of throwing off the old self and, aided by the grace of faith, a meeting with the Lord Jesus. Of course, this is most beautifully expressed in our sacramental system through the sacrament of penance. Here, the penitent uncovers manifest conscience to the priest. It is a most sacred space. Penitents tell priests things they would never tell their spouse, and in most cases should not. They reveal to the priest, confident in the mercy of God. And this is why, for instance, our training to be effective confessors is so rigorous, because we realize in the moment that a person is manifesting conscience how vulnerable they are and how important it is for our future priests and certainly our current ones to have what we would call in common parlance good bedside manner, right? And to be compassionate and to listen carefully and then to really diagnose very precisely what actually is the problem. In this particular gospel, of course, the Lord knows. And you notice what he says next to Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied, "Master, I want to see." Do not take this for granted. Jesus never imposes his mercy on us. He still wants Bartimaeus to own his part. Bartimaeus could have asked for a lot of things. He could have asked, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus, by the way, does not say to Jesus, "Isn't it obvious?" And maybe it was obvious to Jesus. I'm sure it was. I mean, everything's obvious to Jesus, right? But it's not really, that question isn't for Jesus, right? The question, Jesus isn't like trying to figure him out. The Lord knows us. And this is sort of why it's important in the confessional, even just to listen to oneself as you confess. There's already a healing that's occurring in stating one's sins. That in and of itself, the very act, is already curative. It's interesting when you have penitents who'll say something to the effect of, they'll confess their sin, there's an air of embarrassment, a sense of self-horror, and perhaps even an exclamation, "I know this is terrible because I'm not that kind of person." To which sometimes I gently say, "Maybe you are. I didn't accuse you of anything. You're accusing yourself." Now that is a moment of healing. Because when you own your own iniquity, when you own your own sin, freedom is then possible. It's no longer kept in the darkness out of sight, but is open to the light of Christ. Again, thankfully for all of us, in the anonymity and privacy of the confessional. So you know that here, that in this question, Jesus is not imposing himself. He lets Bartimaeus own his own condition. And when he's asked, Bartimaeus, not lacking in self-awareness, knows exactly what he needs. So then Jesus finally says, "Go on your way, your faith has saved you." And Mark writes, "Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way." Faith in Jesus himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, is absolutely essential for sin to be healed. This is not faith in chance or fate or the universe. This is crucial. Faith in Jesus and his power to heal is absolutely what he invites us to in moments of conversion. And you notice that the Lord says, he does not say, "My teachings are the way, the truth, and the life." He goes, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you'll only know my teachings and understand them if you know me." Now, happily, and here I'll conclude, Bartimaeus is not satisfied with what could have easily been a private experience. He cannot help but witness to what the Lord has done for him. Following him on the way, in Latin, in via, always implies an outward trajectory of helping others who are blind to see. The art of all of it is not only conceding one's own sinfulness and the need for spiritual light, but the art of also gently suggesting to others what they also need to see, because oftentimes they do not know what they do not know. They cannot see what they cannot see. And that, of course, my friends, is a different homily for a different day. But for now, let us be satisfied with this beautiful conversion story. Bartimaeus, the man born blind, who was blind, but now sees. May Jesus the healer be praised both now and forever. Amen.